G'day, Sue. How are you?
Good, good, thanks.
Yeah, it's great news that the Victorian Supreme Court has thrown out the appeal that the Vic Forest put up against the decision against them for their flagrant illegal acts in the forest, isn't it?
Yes, we're very relieved. Last Tuesday, the decision came down. The decision in November was and it meant that Vic Forest had to completely rearrange what they did in the forest, and they had to try to abide by the laws. And they were finding that so hard to do that there'd been virtually no logging since November last year. But we were all worried about the appeal, and although we were sure we had our facts right in law, but legal cases are quirky. And the appeal judges, the three appeal judges, just handed down their decision. All of the grounds for appeal by Vic Forest were thrown out.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is an injunction protecting native forests and species across Victoria from all logging. And it was protecting areas right across Victoria, wasn't it?
Well, our court case, King Lake Friends of the Forest court case, covered the Central Highlands, so that's sort of the forest, the tall forest east of the Hume, but not further west than, say, the Baw-Baws, and not further north than Eildon. It's a very large patch, but it's not all of the logging east of the Hume. Environment East Gippsland ran a case at the same time as we did. In fact, they started the case before us. And so their case covered all of East Gippsland. So, no, not all of the forest is covered by our court decision.
But it does set a precedent, that's what you're saying.
Yes, so all of the forest east of the Hume is logged in a certain way under a certain law and code, and anything east of the Hume is now pretty well covered by the precedent that has been set in our two cases. Logging has not been banned, so the court orders were that Vic Forest must survey properly for greater gliders and yellow-bellied gliders, and they must protect them where they find them. Once they do that, they can continue to log. To them, surveying properly was so difficult that they didn't. They have been experimenting different ways to survey, and while doing that, they could not log because there were strict court orders saying you must survey properly. So until Vic Forest got their act together and worked out how to survey, they couldn't log.
This is why taking the strategic option of using the law was, that's a really big deal, isn't it, for community groups to do this?
Oh, it's hugely risky. It's incredibly time-consuming. You have to have a barrister and a lawyer that understands environment law and law that's in the forest. And there isn't a lot of lawyers that are able to do that, and we're fortunate to have Jonathan Corman and Quavan Alabi and also barrister Kylie Weston Shiver to assist our case, and that doesn't come around all the time.
No, you're quite
that's
right.
It is not available to everyone, and it is, as did I say, expensive. It's very expensive as well.
Oh, yeah, it is very expensive to take anything to the law courts. And this is one of the reasons for how the big end of town manages dissent, really. And also I think it's interesting that the anti-protest laws in relation to the environment in Victoria have focused on citizen scientists, because obviously the issue of not following the rules in regards to surveying coops properly really undid Vic Forest.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. It was citizen science allowed these cases to go ahead and allowed us to prove that they were logging where greater gliders were. If we just believed Vic Forest, they would say, no, we've had a look. There's nothing there. We're protecting X and Y. And they would continue on their merry way. Mind you, before we started our case, the Friends of Leadbeater Possum had their case in the federal court, and that went over many years. And the federal court judges did hand down a decision that Vic Forest was logging illegally in Victoria. We, in fact, used the same clause that the federal court judge looked at. And not surprisingly, the state judges found the same thing. But the federal court judge decision was, the federal court decision was handed down in 2020. And the Department of Environment did nothing to then say, okay, we really must regulate Vic Forest now because we've been told by a judge this is what the law means. They should have been regulating Vic Forest before that, and we would not have had so much, you know, disaster in our wildlife. But they chose not to, and they chose not to regulate Vic Forest even after that decision was handed down. And that's why we had to take it to court. They weren't doing it.
Well, that's fascinating, isn't it? Because it shows how different parts of government interact with each other, and that Vic Forest obviously has quite a lot of weight when it comes to furthering its own cause.
I'm really concerned about, you know, I was concerned about Vic Forest, of course. Naturally, they're the front line. They were told to log. It's the government that should have been regulating its own laws that that are, you know, squarely to blame for this. And it's the same government and the same regulator, the Department of Environment, that is now supposedly the regulator for Vic Forest. And Vic Forest will continue to log or to manage logging in the west of the state. That hasn't been banned. And I think some people, well, when I say banned, the Premier did hand down a decision a month ago saying native forest logging will end in January 2024. But when he said that, he only meant the logging under the Vic Forest allocation order, which is all in the east of the state. Vic Forest manages logging of native forest in the west of the state under a different act, under different laws. And the Premier has confirmed in Parliament that that logging will continue at least for another 6 months while the licences are still valid. And we don't know what will happen after June 2024 in the west of the state.
That's really interesting. There's always these caveats, aren't there? Like nothing ever, you know, they say something and then it's not really, you think it's an absolute, but it's not an absolute. And the other one that's, that I'm aware of is this business about cutting down forests in the name of fire management.
There will continue to be logging under different names, and this is my concern with the Department of Environment. If they've shown their colours by not regulating Vic Forest, and we have proven that, and we've shown their colours. So that's the same department that's now been put in charge of regulating fire management. They, in fact, do the fire management work and regulating Vic Forest into the future with the licences they issue to people who will log in the west. Department of Environment will supposedly regulate all this other work that they're demanding, like picking up fallen trees from storms.
Yes.
I call it disaster logging. It's going in and looting after a disaster, and these forests need the trees on the ground to cover the ground or protect the ground. The animals such as phascogales, endangered animals, use those logs to collect insects from, and it reduces the wind and the dryness in the forest, and yet the Department of Environment are sending Vic Forest in to take away those logs and sell them for pulp, paper. And leave all the tops of those trees on the ground, which are, you know, if anyone is concerned about fire, it is the tops of the trees, the small branches, the leaves that are left in the forest that would be a concern in fire.
Yeah, exactly. What you're really pointing out is that all this money that's been wasted on Vic Forest could actually be used to maintain forests, cultivate forests effectively.
Well, we've research after research has shown that if we want to manage the forest to reduce the fire risk, we need the forest to be as old as possible. Mm. So we need to manage the forest to age it, and the way to age it is to ensure that fire doesn't go in there and kill the forest and take it back to zero age. So the best thing to do is to stop the press fires immediately they happen, and we have the technology to do that. It's just that the standard way of firefighting in Victoria is antiquated and old, and they don't seem to have any urgency about fires that start way, way, way into the forest, away from people. They do not put those out quickly enough, and then they bring that forest back to a young age.
So what you're really saying is that what strikes me is that it sounds like there needs to be a massive education campaign to raise awareness and overturn stereotypic sort of colonial notions about how we relate to the environment.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the way, well, I think many people have said that in the past, and why would the forest be any different, you know?
Right. Before, because we have been chatting for a while, and this is actually an issue that always keeps giving, this appeal went to the Supreme Court, the Victorian Supreme Court, and there is actually a higher court. You're not expecting them to take it to another appeal, are you?
Well, Vic Forest seem to have pockets that don't have any bottom, I would think that they could do that. They could take it to the High Court. I don't know if there's any grounds. It's up to the High Court whether to accept that appeal or not.
Right, yeah,
and,
that's right.
And they may not.
Yeah. Thanks for your work, and thank you for talking to us.
Thanks, Annie.
Yeah, you're a great person. You should get an AO, whatever it is.
there's a lot of us that have earned quite a bit, I think, over the last 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah, well, you're super people, if you ask me. Thank you very much. Bye-bye,
thanks,
Sue.
Bye.